Insecurity has a 5-hour wait.
Mm-hmm. Originally it wrapped around the baggage claim, and now it's wrapping outside of the airport.
Wait, I saw photos
today. Yeah.
That's internal or to fly out of the country?
If you just go to check in. If you're just going to check in, it's domestic. It's not the international terminal. Domestic. Holy. So it hits Americans. It's not even hitting. It's hitting Americans, literally, that ground traffic is just being totally stranded. And you can kind of point this to the Iranians and say, well, the war is taking attention away from the shutdown happening. So that's also something else that's being hurt right now. And they don't care.
5 hours for domestic flights just to get through security. Mm-hmm.
I would say at least. I know I saw a TikTok today. I can confirm this, that people were getting to the airport a day ahead and sleeping in the terminal just so they wouldn't miss their flight. Like, they're getting there the day before, checking in, and then just sleeping Jesus. At the gate. Yep.
Yeah, I remember back when you could just walk up to the gate before they had security. It was at the gate. In fact, mm-hmm. I was in... One of my friends was best friends from high school was getting married, and I was in officer basic at that point at Fort Knox, and I was running late, and I drove into Louisville, parked my car, grabbed my suitcase, and went running, literally jumping over people that are like sitting around, laying around. I'm just like there was no commercial with I can't remember which sportsman was doing it, and his sneakers, I think, if I remember correctly, he was running through the airport, jumping. This is me running through the airport, and the security was just at the gate. I come running up there, you know, I just had a bag with me, a carry-on bag, so I just popped the carry-on bag. It goes through the metal detector. It's like, here you go. I was one of the last people in. But yeah, I mean, you can't imagine that anymore. Geez, you know, just
no.
In any airport, even in Russia and anywhere in the world, it's security is now insane everywhere. Mm-hmm. But 5 hours is just
so bad.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I don't have anything else to say for that. Holy crap.
We're having some bad internal issues right now in the U.S. We're having some issues. The gas is up. Travel entirely. You try to drive by car, it's even more expensive now. So we're having a travel problem. They don't care about Iran. It's, you know, we have a war going on, but Fox News is busy talking about kittens and puppies and the newest Democratic hoax in Minnesota. It's like, come on. We're literally in the middle of a mini genocide that we're conducting, and this is what we're going to be talking about. Anything to get the mind off of it.
When you leave the U.S., even in Europe, mm-hmm. as bad as Europe is on freedom of speech these days, I mean, England is an open-air gulag. They arrested like 15,000 people last year. 15 mm-hmm. friggin' thousand people. They're letting murderers and rapists out of their jails because they don't have enough places to put mm-hmm. TikTokers and, you know, people saying, I don't like these migrants. There's too many of them. Yep, in jail. No, I mean, I'm being quite literal. One of the first women.
Yeah, 100%.
She was a mother of two. Well, she is a mother of two. They gave her 2 years. Because she put a message, I'm sick and tired of all these migrants.
Mm-hmm.
She took it off, apologized, and got 2 years. You know.
The UK is really bad.
Germany's not good either. All of these countries are bad. But even there, when you listen to the media, you still get more of a view of the world than you do in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't really have to control our free speech here because we're not going to say anything that's too smart anyway, because we're fed just total junk. And it's because we're kind of isolated. I mean, we're halfway across the world. Nothing's ever going to happen here. Nothing ever did happen here. Ancestors, great ancestors, World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, it wasn't here. Like, people didn't... We've never really experienced war.
Since the Civil War.
Yeah, it's been a long time. And in Europe, they understand, especially, you know, the Russians, the Arabs. These are people that, like, know they live through what's happening. They've lived through history. And Western Europe, the EU plus the UK, have taken this approach of the weird immigration craze to where, you know, like you were talking about, oh, we have a declining birth rate. What are we going to do? We're going to try to make it good for our citizens who are already here, or take the Angela Merkel 2015 route of import. Our population, which is weird.
You know, there's if you read Plato's Republic, One of the things you notice what Plato gets at is that tyrants don't rise up from monarchs. Tyrants rise up from the people. Because you have the people, a democracy of sort, that eventually turns into an oligarchy. And then some populist comes along and says, hey, elect me and I'll take the power back to the people. And the moment he gets in, he becomes a tyrant, starts stealing. Well, the reason they import migrant or foreigners, from particularly poor foreigners, because for them, it's still an increase in their quality of life. So they'll be loyal to the tyrant because the citizens are going, wait a minute, we didn't elect you for this. We've got issues and questions. So he has to import a, so the tyrant has to import a population that'll be loyal to him.
And hand them a lot of stuff as well.
Yeah.
The food, the housing in the UK, the hotels and all of that.
Oh, you see that in the US.
They hand it away so they keep voting. Yeah.
You see that in the US.
Starting to happen.
Yeah,
we're just too big of a country for people to really kind of pick up on it. But it'll, you know, I've already, it's sad to say, I've already accepted defeat that eventually it's just, I mean, really, because what's the Republican Party going to fix it? Trump's in charge and they're not doing it. And the Democrats aren't. It's like one big game to where they just try to outperform each other negatively. It's really bad.
It's, but, it takes economic collapse. Because when the pie gets really small, that's when people start getting really angry.
Well, we've been heading that direction with inflation for a while. They're just printing money constantly out of the Fed Reserve. And inflation here is rampant. And even though, like, Trump likes to brag he's brought inflation down, the prices still remain the same. It's, you know, inflation's down 2%, whatever. Like, under Biden, it was like 10%. The prices will never go back to what they were. Nope. Now it's just slowly rising. But back on the immigration thing, one thing that I always like to make a point with people, like the immigrants that are coming to Europe and America, or whatever, they're not even coming from the countries we're at war with. So this weird thing to where the Europeans are just absolutely hating. They're just mindlessly hating some of these immigrants. But then they'll support the Israelis because the Israelis portray this idea that they're fighting for Western civilization. But the Israelis are like killing Iranians and Lebanese and Palestinians. And then the Europeans import people from like Bangladesh and Pakistan and India. And they just don't grasp that. They don't understand that, that Israel doesn't fight for Western civilization. They're just duping everybody into this idea of we have to kill the Muslims so they don't come to Europe. Well, you're going to import them anyway. Like, they're already happening. Like, I promise you that some radical jihadist is not going to, like, come out of Iran. They're more likely to come out of the countries that we already destroyed, like Iraq, like Syria in 2024. Mm-hmm. Those, because it's the West's fault, I hate to say are, but it's kind of America's fault that these people are grown up watching their families get killed and they have some revenge in their heart. Mm-hmm. That is a problem that you have created. And to just now bomb Iran and the Israelis who are just excited because it's not their problem anymore.
Oh yeah.
You're just creating more terrorism. We're fighting the state sponsor of terrorism in Iran, allegedly. And just like Iraq, just like Syria, it's just going to backfire. And you're going to really see what terrorism is like whenever you kill these people's families.
Well, let me ask you this. How much of the young voters, you know, the 18 to 30-year-olds, how many of them are supporting all of this?
It's very low. It's good. This isn't just like me saying it or a social media trend. Like, it is, I have friends in college. I have my little brother in school who is sending me, it's a little cliche, but they're sending me reels about this stuff. They're sending me social media stuff and they're calling me like, are we at war with Iran because of, what's AIPAC? And it's like, seriously, and it is fully changing. And I guess it's because we use social media and we're able to connect the dots better and actually engage with these people that are, we're seeing the videos. It's, you know, Fox News isn't going to show you a video out of Gaza or out of Iran or out of southern Lebanon. And nothing on the TV will ever show you that because the media here is, you know, it's just, it's rough. It's really rough. And do you be able to use social media, especially the younger generation, because, you know, an 85-year-old in South Carolina, Fox News is telling him what he wants to hear. But this younger generation, this is how I kind of learned about it, is you see the videos and you go, I just watched a child get shot in Gaza. Why did that happen? Yeah. I just watched a family in Lebanon just get bombed. And now you hear about the school bombing in Iran, which they talked about on Fox News. They haven't talked about it in a few weeks. And then Trump just says, wasn't us. It's like, okay, it was a Tomahawk cruise missile. Really? Iran doesn't have that.
No. Apparently Iran has bought some
Tomahawk. Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure how they actually got them, but you know.
Yeah, they somehow got it under the harsh sanctions, and we destroyed everything they have, but they have enough to throw a Tomahawk on their own school. Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, look, people
believe it. They believe it here. It's crazy.
The Donbass, I mean, I'm from those areas. I'm from Lugansk originally. So, you know, since 2014, what have the Ukrainians, Kyiv, been saying? Oh, they're shooting at their own kids. It's not us bombing their schools. It's the rebels shooting at their own kids. Right. So we take our kids to school, then we just shoot them. You know,
the parents drop their kids off at school, then fire artillery rounds into the elementary school. It's
what level of imbecile do you have to be to actually believe that? But apparently, you know, quite a few people believe that because it's convenient.
It's also here how absurd on the Ukraine-Russia topic, just history with Israel, history started October 7th, 2023. And with Russia-Ukraine, history started February 2022. There's nothing else that happened before that. They don't ever want to talk about NATO. They don't ever want to talk about, putting Ukraine in NATO on Russia's doorstep. Russia's allowed a lot to happen, to be honest. They've allowed a lot of NATO expansion waves and just went, we don't really like this, but we're not going to react in a way, because if you guys want to be idiots, and it's always been Ukraine, it's always been the red line, and they kept pushing it. They kept doing it. And they overthrew the government in 2014. No one here knows about that stuff. No one here has any idea. They see Zelensky is a Western guy. He's a president against this horrible regime in Russia. And it's like history started in 2022 in the same way in Israel that it started in 2023. There's no backstory. It happened it's out of nowhere. Whenever it started in 2022, or whenever it escalated in 2022, it was the unprovoked, that's how they worded it, the unprovoked invasion of Ukraine by Russia. Like, unprovoked, are we serious? Yep. Just like the Palestinians were being slaughtered for decades, people in the Donbass were slaughtered for decades by the Ukrainians. And whenever these people fight back, as they have the right to do so, you have the right to try not to get killed. And you, like in Gaza, like in Lebanon, these people have the right to just not accept being bombed. And for some reason, in the U.S., in the West especially, I hate to keep harping on that. I sound like an anti-American, but I really hate to do that. Like, I have the flag behind me. I'm born here. I live here. And I don't want to sound like some just like, I hate America. But it's the truth that we're fed this reality of history started in 2023 and 2022 for both conflicts. Mm-hmm. And if you question anything, you're anti-Semitic. And if you question anything about Russia, Ukraine, You're just wrong. You're evil. You're wrong. Right. How dare you support the Russian genocide happening in Ukraine? But if you dare call what Israel's doing, which is comparing what happened in Russia to Ukraine, is minimal. It's absolutely minimal compared to what the Israelis are doing. Oh, yeah. But they don't want to bring up numbers like that because it shatters everything. It shatters it all like that. So, I'll let you talk. I was going.
No. I was going to say, questioning the narrative of a corrupt government is not anti-patriotic. It's actually patriotic. Mm-hmm. Going along just because somebody in power who's making money off of this says this is the right way. You know, and say, you know, just remember, concentration camps in Germany were lawful. Uh-huh. That was the law. They weren't against the law because they passed a law that says, we can do this. So, was it moral? Hell no, but that was legal.
I lose my mind sometimes. And I'm glad I'm able to talk to a lot of people like you and people, the viewers and all of that, that really understand what's actually happening, that there's actually people outside of this small American bubble that actually is everyone else, essentially, that sees what's actually happening in the world. And I lose my mind about it. But it's really rough. America was, I made a video about this, and America was founded on resistance. Like the revolutionaries were founded on resistance. They resisted, and the British called them terrorists. They called them traitors, terrorists, the rebels, and all of that. it was founded off of resistance to the British Empire. But no one can make that correlation that America was founded on resistance. And when anybody else resists, that they're immediately labeled a terrorist. It's, you know, as an American, I'm a patriot. And if someone's oppressed, like the colonists were, how dare you put 2% tax on our tea? We're going to rise up. We're going to destroy you. And you have a right, a fundamental human right, to resist an occupation or an oppression. Like the in Donbass, they were oppressed. And in Palestine, they're occupied and oppressed, of course.
Yeah.
And you have a fundamental human right, whether it's lawful or not, you have a fundamental right as a human to resist what is happening to you, which is evil, whether it's the Ukrainians doing it or the Israelis doing it. And then the American media, the Western media, spins it as they're terrorists that are being oppressed. The Gazans, all the kids that are killed, they're there because of Hamas. Are you serious? Why is Hamas there? Why are these people taking up arms? Why are these people resisting? Oh, yeah, because it's an open-air prison. Why did this happen in Ukraine? Oh, did Russia just wake up on the wrong... Did Putin wake up on the wrong side of the bed one morning?
That's what, like, they say. That's
a, yeah, lot of literally, say. It's unprovoked.
Literally say that.
It's Putin's crazy. Okay, well, why didn't he... He's been president. You know, he was president in the 2000s, came back in 2013, and why did he just decide to do it in 2022? Probably because Biden and Kamala Harris wanted Ukraine to join NATO. I'm just going to throw that out there because they've had this idea. I'm really diving in deep now. Ukraine's always had this idea post-coup, from my understanding. You know more than me about it. But they wanted to join NATO to essentially bring NATO into Ukraine to crush everything happening in the Donbass. And Russia said it's a national security issue for Ukraine to join NATO. And morally, it's hard to watch people continuously get slaughtered for years on end until something boils over. Like what happened on October 7th, like what's happening. That's how Hezbollah was created in Lebanon as well. It reaches a tipping point of constant poking at people.
Well, it's not just, in this case, it's not just, it's not just watching people get slaughtered. First of all, these are historical Russian lands. We'll just begin with that. The Soviets divided up and created Ukraine. Out of
Khrushchev had a Ukrainian wife, and he got riled up to Ukrainian. Get Crimea back to Ukraine.
Oh, Khrushchev.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's the first thing. Until 1922, there was nowhere in Ukraine. Ukraine, the very word Kraina means hinterland. It's hinterland. Mm-hmm. You don't have a nation called hinterland because you can't have a nation called hinterland because it's the edge of something else. In this case, it was the edge of Rzecz Pospolita, which is the Polish former Polish Empire, and the Russian Empire. You know, this is the land, that land. And historically, that was Russian land back in the 900s and 1000s. So, and Crimea was never part of that land, by the way. Crimea was part of it was actually part of the Kuban lands, which are today's Krasnodarsky Krai, that area, belonged to that governorship. It's all divided in these big governorships. You had Nova Russia, which means New Russia, and you had Mala Russia, which means Little Russia. That was the whole of today's Ukraine, plus some other areas that were added on later on by Stalin and by Khrushchev. So, yeah, that's what you hear. Yeah, you're right. You know, it all started... You know what the curse of Ukraine was? The Eastern Ukraine? Now, I'm not talking about Crimea, which was autonomous, never wanted to be part of anything but Russia. But the Eastern provinces were demanding federalization. Yeah, I know. It's insane, this radical
idea. When?
When everything went. 2014. They were demanding They wanted
well,
the
there
right
was
to
a constitutional,
governors.
Wasn't there a in the Minsk agreements, wasn't there, or was this before then? There was supposed to be a constitutional amendment to make them autonomous, right?
This was 2013, 2014, as the coup started. The people came out, they demanded federalization. They wanted the right to elect their governors and have a say in where their money went. Because the way Ukraine runs, and still runs today, it's a feudal mafia state. So these oligarchs, they get placed as governors. They're not elected. They just get placed as governors over some province. And that's their feeding ground. Their job is to suck money out of that, give a portion to Kyiv, who's ever sitting in power there, and a portion for themselves. They don't invest. They're there to just suck money out of this. So Ukraine went from, in 1991, when the Soviet Union collapsed, Ukraine had an industrial and scientific base the size of France. By 2021, when it got compared to Uganda, and the Ugandan president came on the air and said, "Don't you dare compare us to those people. We're a lot richer than they are."
Yeah,
I mean, that's how far it fell in 30 years of just nonstop pillaging.
And the corruption index, which just goes hand in hand with that, is they never bring that up either, is that Ukraine was rated over and over again the most corrupt nation in Europe. But the second
in the world, probably.
In the world. But the second everything started, apparently the comedian is now a hero fighter. He's a freedom fighter ruling under martial law, but he has to do it. But and
he has to kill his political opponents. I mean, which reason do they have? It's a war.
Yeah, one of his best friends had to flee his mansion with golden toilets, and he goes to Israel out of all places. Like, how does this even happen? Like, how does everything tie together perfect like this? And now he's sending the drone experts to the Gulf. It's just absurd. While he's begging for help the whole time. He wants to be strong whenever he feels like it. He comes out and says, "We actually can help you shoot all these down. We've been through this. We know how to do it." But then he'll turn to Europe and just start begging, complaining, and says that they need more and more help. He's an actor. He plays it really well. I'll give him credit. He plays the two-faced coin very, very well. But for people that see through it, it's just mind-boggling how this dude is still in charge.
You got to look at it this way. Nobody out of the Ukrainian leadership is planning on dying of old age in Ukraine. Ukraine is a feeding trough for these pigs, and the Ukrainian people are the meat. You know, as long as they can be sold into this endless war and they're getting money for it. Zelensky's parents live in Ashkelon in a mansion that he bought them. His wife and kids live in London, where he owns a lot of property. And apparently he's the ninth largest private landowner in America now.
That's interesting. Very interesting. Or I remember back when that weird mineral deal was going on.
Nobody talks about it anymore.
Yeah, because it was ridiculous. And you look at who was buying all the plants. It was like BlackRock. It was all of these ups, and they still own a lot of them. Oh, yeah. And they had this idea of, we'll have BlackRock, the corrupt American companies, buy these plants on the front lines and just hope that Russia just walks up to them and goes, "Oh, sorry, we hit a red line. We hit BlackRock." And the Russians were just like, I don't think that's going to work. And regardless, BlackRock was already in Ukraine. And like the Epstein files, the Rothschilds are in Ukraine. Epstein was all in Ukraine. BlackRock was in Ukraine. And it was all post-2014. And it's really hard to explain that stuff here in the U.S. because, my YouTube got demonetized, not because of the Israeli stuff, because I made a video about Orban going against Zelensky with funding, and they demonetized my channel on that video.
Because of
that video. Yes, because they still have these law rules. That's what they told me about since 2022 for disinformation. And out of everything I've said about Israel, which I thought would have got me, nope, it was all about Ukraine. Because when it comes to Israel and America, they call you anti-Semitic. When it comes to Ukraine, they just don't even try to refute you. There's no, "You're racist, you're this or that." It's just, "We're not even going to listen to what you're saying because you're so crazy. It can't be real." Epstein, Ukraine, the coup, it wasn't a coup. You're crazy. I had a debate with somebody, and I kind of made the argument like a real basic level when I said, "Ukraine was in turmoil. Do you just not think that America would step in and flip the government? Because it's on Russia's doorstep." I'm like, would the CIA not see that opportunity on the doorstep of Russia? "We would never do that." Why? Why would we ever do that? The CIA, what do we have interest in Ukraine? That we can turn into a rump state to just fight Russia. That is the reason that the U.S. saw an opportunity. It was a failing state, basically. And you give enough people some money and the protesters, they'll do whatever they want. And
then you prop up a guy. He needs to listen to Newland, where she admitted they'd spent $5 billion on Ukraine.
Oh, can't bring that up. They said there's no proof. They said there's no proof. They were talking about the big guy, Biden. They was going to give him a pat on the back, like the, "You've got it, bro." No, that stuff here is, The more I think about it, I didn't really understand this until now. This might surprise you, that the Ukraine-Russia topic, if you go against the narrative with Ukraine-Russia, it's honestly more, you get more hate for that than you do the Israel topic nowadays in 2025. Because the Israel topic, people are slowly coming to it and they're more open to ideas. But with Russia-Ukraine, it's just an absolute stone wall, because like you had to dive back to the history of Israel, you have to do the same thing with Ukraine. And it's a long process to get these people, but people just won't get over the fact that everybody in Russia doesn't want to kill us. It's not the Soviet Union. It's absurd.
Nobody in the Soviet Union wanted to kill Americans, if we're going to
go. I know. I saw a poll in the 80s that was like from the Soviets and the Americans. It was a poll of how likely do you think a nuclear war is going to break out? And the American people had like a 70% chance, and the Soviets were like 10%. It's like, we're not going to fight a war. What are you talking about? You know, the Americans have been breeding this forever, this doomsday. We have TV shows. Protestants have, I'm Protestant, but I don't have this idea of like a rapture. The end of the world is going to happen.
Yeah.
The apocalypse is going to happen. And they're just like, it's Russia, Iran, China, this evil axis is going to start it. And I'm like, they don't do anything. Really, China? Are you serious? Iran? We just attacked them. Like, we've been building up NATO to fight Russia forever, but apparently they're the ones that are building it up. It's nuts.
If you want to blow their mind, 1949 is when NATO was formed. 1948, Stalin asked to join NATO for a Europe-wide security organization. By the way, the first attempts to build a European-wide security structure and to start a League of Nations, which was the version one of the UN, was Nicholas II. So for the 1880s, Russia's been trying to stop all these wars in Europe.
Russia, Russia was trying to join Europe in those times, right?
They were trying to modernize. Russia was the biggest, it was the fifth largest economy in the world. U.S. was fourth largest economy in the world at that point. Britain was the first, and then Germany, then France. But, I mean, Russia owns about a fourth of Europe, as always, the continent. But the Russian Empire, Nicholas II, was trying to set up a European peace or European security structure, what Putin's talking about. That idea has been around on the Russian side since the 1880s. So 140 years ago, Russia's trying to set up a Europe-wide peace security structure to avoid having any wars, to avoid, World War I, for example, then World War II.
They were right. You had Napoleon, you had the German Empire, you had Hitler, and then you had NATO trying to do the same thing. But they don't tell you that stuff here.
Yeah,
they really don't. You can't even question it. How dare you?
Russia's the evil country that wants to invade her. Right? Russia's been trying to make a peace structure for 140 years to avoid any world wars.
Did Putin as well try to join in the 2000s? He asked about it.
Putin tried to join in 2000. Yeltsin asked to join in 1992.
Yeah, I remember that with Clinton, right? And Clinton just joked it off or something.
When Yeltsin, when I was talking to Colonel Wilkerson, because he was chief of staff for Colin Powell, both in the military and when Colin Powell was Secretary of State, from what he said, because Yeltsin asked, it was George Bush Sr., and from what he said, they were actually contemplating doing it. At that point, and then they lost the elections. Clinton came in. Clinton had this little problem with DNA, his DNA on a couple of dresses. Banging the intern. And he had to get it off. He had to act tough. That's what Wilkerson says. And that's how it all went. Got deep sixed because of that. So I don't know. Maybe. I've got another call coming up. It's been a great conversation. I'm pretty sure not the only one.
Of course.
I'm glad you came on. Hope everybody found it interesting. And you know, we
need. I had a great time. It was awesome. Here. I had a great time.
And it's good to see that the youth in the U.S. is buying into the into the Zionist. Yeah. I don't know how else to call it. I mean, it's Christian Zionism, Jewish Zionism. It's this cult thing. And it's the death of America if this continues. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's talk realistically. You know, it'll collapse the country from internally. So hopefully people wake up and stop this insanity before we all get blown up. So hopefully we're here to have another conversation.
I hope so. Let's hope something bad doesn't happen. But I think the youth is waking up. They are 100%. So
you know, the joke in the 1970s and 1980s was, what do you want to be if you grow up? Yeah. So because the fear of nuclear war was palatable. I mean, yeah, and you're right. Everybody was constant egging on and on it, and yeah. So unfortunately, it hasn't changed that much. So, anyways, thank you, thank you. We will definitely talk again, and everybody, thank you for joining. If you have any questions for Ethan, leave them in the comments. He'll have the link so he can answer. And have a good night. See you in the next one.